Rockmore, it's Sue Jones, lead for Primary Style and Maths across the EAS. With me today to talk about the role of metacognition in the primary school is Jess Stokes from Willowtown. Jess, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Hi there, I'm Jess and I'm currently Year 4 teacher in Willowtown. I'm also Key Stage 2 Leader of Learning, Maths and Numeracy Lead, and part of our metacognition team as well here at Willowtown. So lots of different hats.
Lots of different hats there, Jess, so you don't have much time to sleep. What we've got, Willowtown is also one of our learning network schools for STEM, and for a number of years they have been involved with the mathematics and numeracy as well. So I'm really fortunate to be able to talk to Jess today because I know they've been on a journey for a number of years now developing the metacognitive skills of their learners. So Jess, I just wanted to talk, like, I've been to Willowtown a few times, quite a few times, and it is really clear to see from learning environment, talking to learners, talking to staff, that you are on a journey and that you are teaching those metacognitive skills. Can you tell me about how and why you introduced this?
Yeah, we've been on quite the change journey over the last 5 to 6 years. We pretty much changed everything sort of from the start. New head, new leadership team, new vision. We changed the way we do our maths, we changed the way we do our literacy, and pretty much everything changed over the last couple of years, even our approach to our curriculum as well. And one of the things that we've looked at is introducing sort of research within school and created a staff book club. And this is where sort of metacognition originally came from, as something for us, because we looked at lots of different works. We looked at growth mindset with Carol Dweck to start with, and we added learning pits within the classroom, so, and that discussion with the children of how their learning was going, where their struggles were, what they could do. Those learning pits have now pretty much disappeared from the classrooms because the children don't need that visual reminder anymore. They're so good at explaining to you the things behind the learning pits. We also looked at building learning power, we looked at grit, we looked at mathematical mindsets, a whole different range of things. And we originally started with building learning power behaviours, and staff were trained, and we did that across a year. But what we felt then was, yes, those skills were being introduced to the children, but they'd almost become buzzwords for the children. So if you said to a child, how, you know, can you improve your learning? And they would always say, I need to be resilient. Couldn't then explain behind that what being resilient meant. So what we figured out is what we needed was to go deeper into those actual skills and look at what actually resilience is, what behaviours sit behind that allow a child to be resilient. So we looked at lots of different ideas. We visited other schools that have done this really well as well and worked with them sort of to create our own approach. But as we do with a lot of things at Willowtown, whatever sort of we set up doing, we call it, we Willowtownify it and make it relevant to our children, because it's all very well and good having these metacognitive behaviours, but they need to be relevant to our children. And not all the different skills were things that we wanted to include. So we had, our whole staff was involved in this. Yes, we've got a team of 4 teachers that take the lead on it in creating lots of things, but every member of staff in the school has had an input into the learning behaviours that we chose. That was where we started. We looked at Stonefield School in New Zealand, which comes through John Hattie's visible learning work. So we as a staff came up with the 5 learning behaviours that we wanted our children to use, to understand in much more depth, and for them to sort of be able to embody those things, not to say I need to be resilient, I need to be able to communicate, but they actually know what those skills are. So we chose resilience, collaboration, communication, motivation, and the ability to be reflective. So those were our 5. And then we decided that we've seen a lot of, with metacognition, superheroes created or animals personifying these behaviours.
Yeah.
So we decided that actually we need our children to have something more that they can relate to. And we do call them our Willow heroes, but they're normal children. they are children that could be in our school.
Yeah,
and that was really important.
Really good idea there to sort of make it personal. And like you say, and involving all the staff, does it go wider than that with involving all stakeholders?
We have done sessions where we've sort of spoken to the governors and things like that. We started off, we can get the children sort of involved in picking the learning behaviours, because actually at that point they didn't understand enough about them to be able to choose the ones that they needed. Looking into the future, when we think about potentially adding in different behaviours, we're at that point now where actually we could ask children what they think they need to work on.
Yeah, totally agree.
So what we ended up doing then, like I said, these characters are children that could be in our school. We've written in sort of looking at what other schools have done best, that creation of a story for each character. And within those stories, they go through something that could happen at Willowtown. So we've got one year group, one character story. They're in year four and they go on a trip to Gilwan. And that's where they pull those learning behaviours out. So we're not just showing the children how to do these skills academically. We're showing them that it can be done in all different ways. We've got bike riding included in one of the stories. The first character, Resilient Rod, he's in year six and he's looking back through his entire school life and how he's learned how to be resilient in every year group.
And yeah, actually, it's really, they can really connect to that, can't they?
Yeah, there's, you know, teachers pop up in the stories. So, you know, in the year four story, Mrs. Adams is in there, and Mrs. Tate's in the year three story. And the first time we introduce these to the children, that we do like a launch assembly at the beginning of the term. And the children's faces, the first time they heard them, when they were spotting teachers' voice names in them, they were just so engaged with it and looking around and sort of smiling at the teacher whenever they popped up into the story.
That's fantastic.
So that's worked really well. And then on sort of the launch days, then they go off and do activities that we've sort of designed as a staff that will help them to start to practice those skills from nursery to year six. We go right the way through. Nursery is a slightly watered down version. They don't listen to the whole story. They are quite long, but they still do the activities. Like the nursery one for resilience is about putting their own coat on and zipping it up.
Yeah.
And sort of working on that over the term. So it's little skills, it's life skills, as well as how you can be resilient within the classroom, but how you can be resilient within life as well, which I think is quite important, that they don't just link it to, this is something I do in school.
Definitely. They are, you know, this lifelong learning, and these are skills they do need to become successful in life. So links really well.
Yeah.
So what has, you've been on the journey, like you said, it hasn't been an overnight fix. It's been something you've reviewed, you review regularly to suit your learners and make the changes where you need to. What has the impact been? You know, what impact have you noticed on your learners over the last couple of years?
They really understand these skills now. Back, obviously, I said back at the start when we sort of started off, they could say, I'm being resilient, but they couldn't tell you what they could do. Now they could tell you that I need to be resilient, so I need to be confident in what I'm doing. I need to focus on my goal. I've got to stick at it. I need to plan and review the things I'm doing. I've got to manage my distractions, which are all the sort of skills that we've got sitting behind each character. So they've got much more depth and they've got that confidence that they can do these things as well. So they're just starting to show these skills sort of in their everyday sort of being in school. They're showing that these skills are really important and they are starting to show through. And having, I think, all the staff involved was really important for us, because it gives that ownership to staff as well, that they're invested in it. It's not just a little team of people that are invested. Everyone's had input, so they go sort of full out on our launch days, and there's all sorts of stuff going on across the school, inside classrooms, outside classrooms, in the outdoor areas. And it's just had that impact that our children are really starting to embody these skills, that we can start introducing more things to them now.
And I suppose you've got that agreed language, you know, mm-hmm. and everyone's singing from the same hymn sheet, so to speak, so they're working on it together, it's all agreed.
yeah,
and moving forward. So it's evident from the research that's out there that having a whole school approach is key, rather than learning to learn or thinking skills lessons in isolation. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. It's got, something like this has to be whole school. It's got to be something that everyone's invested in and has had the chance to become invested in, to be part of it. But it's having leadership involved as well, that they see the importance. It's not just something, off you go. You know, it is time that's been invested in this. We didn't magically come up with these characters and stories. You know, we set up our metacognition team. We call ourselves the Metacogs. And we were given a day out of class per character in the first year. So that's 5 days to start with for 4 teachers.
Yeah.
To create these things, because they're not magic out of thin air. You know, we had to write the story. We created the lesson plan for the entire school. So for staff, other staff, it wasn't an onerous job. Everybody then had to create an activity, think of things to do. We made sure we had a sort of progression of activities across the school as well. And we took those ideas from our staff. The activities they do are things that staff came up with, but we just created the sort of the meat on the bones behind it, actually the different things to do. The resources, we've gathered all sorts of things. We've got carpet tiles all over the place and funnels and all different things, balls for all different activities. And so it meant that it didn't become onerous for staff or something else they had to do on top. It was done for them.
What I wanted to pick up here is that we know it doesn't just get done in your maths lessons. It's not a tool to teach your maths. But I just wondered how this whole school approach has had an impact on learners' resilience and motivation in maths in particular.
I think it's had a really good impact on them. They're much more willing to try different things. You know, the sort of the reasoning, the word problems, those sorts of things are always the things that kind of trip the children up a little bit.
Yeah.
Learning these different strategies that they have, different things to try, they're now sort of, well, they know that they can try a different strategy. There's, you know, resources available in the classroom they can just go and get. They don't have to have it put out for them. They can go and find something themselves that they know will help them. So they're more able to try something before just going straight to the teacher. I always say to mine, I should be the last person, last thing you try, reading the question again. Just stop and think sometimes. They get into a bit of a panic that they've got to get it done straight away, that actually sitting and thinking is an acceptable thing to do. And looking back over something we've done before, you know, they can flick back in their maths book, look at something else. Right, I did this there, so how can I apply this in another way? Find different things. Asking a friend. You know, my math lessons are never silent because they always know they can turn to somebody else, because if they can find somebody else to explain it to them, that helps everybody. We've also started introducing, it was a sort of start of September 2019, so we only really got a term into it before everything happened, is we've created, from some research that has been done by Deborah Holt, she's got a book, Metacognition in a Primary School, and from Edinburgh University, she actually came down to talk to us and did a whole staff inset for us. Well, in there, there's a sort of skills continuum of different skills that you can introduce to the children. So we've got this kind of running alongside our character now. So we introduce it a little bit more. We've put them into progression steps, actually. We're looking ahead sort of to new curriculum. They had them in year groups. We thought, well, we're going to go straight ahead. It's different words, and I use them quite a lot in maths. So when we're sort of thinking about, right, this is our learning objective, this is what we're doing today, but what do we actually need to do this? So they've got things like, they know that they've got to test a strategy, because testing is one of the skills, working out an answer, trying a different way, looking for patterns. They're all skills that we've got on our skills curriculum, and it's longer sort of as they go further up the school. There's things like exploring, suggesting, estimating, thinking, sharing. All really simple things, but getting the children to actually delve a little bit deeper. If I'm not just adding, what have I got to do to add these numbers together? I'm going to have to think. I'm going to have to test something out. So it's just adding that richer language behind it, not just I'm adding.
Definitely. And talking about, like, that's a big part of it, isn't it? Talking about the strategies they're going to use and being able to pull from a wide range and the approach they're going to take to their learning.
Yeah, absolutely. So this now, hopefully when we get our learners back into school properly, this can start to sort of kick back up again now and start getting those into those lessons, getting them really sort of delving into what they're doing, not just, oh, I'm doing some adding today, this is what I've got to do today.
That's brilliant, Jess, and I can't wait. You're talking about the learners coming back. I can't wait to be back in school with you and seeing this in action again. Just watching the learners thinking things through and working things out for themselves and really sort of thinking about their learning is brilliant. So we sort of discussed about, you know, your journey so far, and it would just be, you've been on this journey over a number of years. What would you like to tell people? What would be your key point to take away? If you were listening to this and you were starting your journey, what would you want to share?
I think it's got to be whole school. Everybody needs to be involved in it. From leadership down, there's got to be everybody inputting to what you need for your learners. And I think that's really important. It's got to be tailored to your children. You know, the skills that we want our children to learn aren't necessarily going to be the right ones for the school down the road.
Yeah, definitely.
A whole range. I put a pile of different skills out for our staff to look at. We narrowed it down through lots of different discussions about the five that we wanted to start to work on. And we have those same five characters a few years on. This is our third or fourth year of doing it now. We've still, at the moment, got our same characters. And we just update things, change the odd lesson plan here or there if we've come up with you know, a new idea. So it's quite organic and it sort of changes as we go and we're adding new little bits in, but not bombarding people with loads of brand new things all the time. So I think whole school, tailored, getting all your staff involved are like the most important things for us. That's what's made it successful.
Having everyone involved, but having it across the curriculum, it's not a metacognition lesson. This is our approach to teaching and learning all the time. You know, from the moment they're with you, you want them using these skills outside in the wider world when they're at home or on residentials or wherever they may be. These skills are skills you want them to develop holistically.
Absolutely.
Plenty for us to think about after this discussion over it. And I'd just like to thank you for your time for sharing this with us. We will have some links to the material you've talked about today. So if anyone is interested in taking this further, they can use the material we've got. But thank you for joining us, Jess.
No problem, thank you.